This is Simon Ford. I'm with Jennifer Ford. It's April 14th, 2023 at 4 o'clock p.m. And we're going to meet with Dan Lottie, Sean Apodaca, Wynn Clampett, and Richard Schober at Wynn's apartment in Palmer. Is there too much snow out there?
No.
Okay.
Good diamond.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Got slightly lost, but...
Yeah, I forgot which,
I exactly.
which road.
That's right. Hi.
No Sean?
Yeah, I'll do. He's a-coming.
Oh.
He just has a moment of prayer or something like that. You know.
Good idea.
Good.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Simon.
Hi. Richard.
Great day. Hi, Richard. Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh, it is.
Ooh. Wow. Is that soured over?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Out of the oven 15 minutes ago.
Wow.
So... are we interested in it while it's warm?
I think I have to pass.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good.
I wait for
now,
my
thanks.
Stomach to kind of settle.
It can, okay.
Yeah, but you—I don't. Sure. You can serve it.
Just
I don't have to.
Up from the light on.
I don't have to decide.
Nice
everybody else does.
Tent canopy.
Yeah.
Oh.
This one of your projects, Richard?
Not this one yet.
Not this one.
I haven't had a hand in this one. I feel guilty about that.
it's okay for seeing ones.
And here I have not been
trading places
at all.
So could you roll it up?
Oh, sure.
Right here.
How much?
Well, so you can walk under.
So Dan can walk under it, or
the rest of us, yeah. I don't have to duck much.
There. You just
keep wrapping it.
There
like that?
You go.
All right.
Oh, wrap it up.
Okay.
So you can walk under it. But the back is okay.
So that the rain runs off.
Hi, Sean.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Sean. Thanks.
Water for anyone?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. No, thanks.
Okay. Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, we'll have refreshments in a bit. How's that?
Well, before we start, I'd like to share something, okay?
Would it be okay to pray?
I was hoping you'd do that.
And you can share in it, too. I thought of praying, but anybody else too?
Sure.
Our Heavenly Father, we understand our neediness of Thy Spirit and Thy love, and moment by moment, day by day, we're thankful for the Spirit and love that You have made clear to us. And so we trust that in our time together. We love the call of the gospel, and we love Your correction and your guidance and your light to our pathway. We pray that that spirit and thy unity could continue amongst us, and thy will be done. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we pray that we would understand that when we seek to be like Christ, that we want your heart and your mind, and we want your voice. And we pray that when we speak, it wouldn't be with our own voice, but that we would long for your voice to be what's heard. And just pray that we could be careful, and pray that we could be wise. Pray that we could have the spirit that Christ brought to us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our Father, we're so thankful that we see Calvary day by day, and we understand that as we come before Thee, our problems are so little. So help us, we pray, to truly love our elder brother as he loved you and you loved him. I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to share with our brother, and may it be done in true spirit of thy spirit, and be guided by thy Holy Spirit, and that our purpose today might be that we could be bound closer together, and we could meet in harmony and without fear, without condemnation. And we pray now that thou would be with us, that it may be accomplished. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, we're very aware that there's no greater privilege we could ever hope for than to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And we're thankful for his example, for his teaching, for his purity and his beauty. And we long to have a spirit like his. We long to have a love for truth and a humility and a wisdom about us. And we just pray that your spirit would just overshadow us, come within us, and help us to speak truth and love, and that we could learn to walk in your ways and work towards becoming conformed to that image. And we know that we're a long way from it, but that's the desire of our heart, and we just pray for your help in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, we don't know one another's hearts, but we know that you do. So we pray that you would make it very clear where we should go from here, that we could be comforted, that we could be at peace and at rest with your will, and help us to be willing for whatever your answer is, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Richard, I don't know if Dan let you know or not, but I texted him a while back, days before we found out about Dean and Mark. I texted Dan and asked if we could talk again. So this has really nothing to do with all the other stuff that's happening right now. But I had asked Dan if we could talk again, and I am super uncomfortable with these kinds of conversations, with having to speak up and to say things. So I'd like to just tell you why I came to Dan, tell you what's bothering me, and if I can just like say everything, and then I know you'll have some questions and we can discuss it afterwards, but I think that might help my nerves a little bit. I wrote it down. Just my my understanding from when we met together last fall, I think it was really clear that you understood we had some concerns, we were uncomfortable. You also knew that my daughters were uncomfortable and that they were going to meet with Dan. My understanding at that point was that us being in the same meeting was a trial period, and if we felt uncomfortable, that we didn't have to continue with that. And my understanding also was that, well, what you said was that you came to meeting, because we hadn't been in that meeting yet, that you came to meeting and you left right after, and you weren't going to initiate contact with the kids, and that you left right after gospel meeting. So with those conditions, I felt comfortable. So then, since then, there's a number of things that have happened, and initially, kind of as the things happened, I was growing more and more uncomfortable. But the first thing that happened was in November. I don't know if you remember, but I went to one meeting, and then I was gone for 2 weeks on a trip. And then when I came back, you called me about my children passing the emblems in meeting, and asked me about the boys passing the emblems in meeting. And I said, Richard, I wasn't there. I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't there. And you went on to describe more. But when I hung up, it bothered me, because I thought, why are you watching my kids in meeting? So it just kind of bothered me, but like, let it go, not a big thing. Then you called me on numerous times to visit. You called to check in and see how I was doing, which again, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But it did make me uncomfortable, and you shared some poetry. You called to see how I was. You called to tell me about your prison experience and some of the training you had. Uncomfortable, but not a big deal. But then as things kind of kept going, it bothered me when you called me about Naomi's health, and you told me that you and Linda had discussed Naomi's health, and you were telling me about the clinic. Just the interest in my kids has just been a red flag. Then it has bothered everybody, well, my family, all of my family, just recently when you've been attempting to correct everybody about the length of our testimony. It's not inappropriate to receive correction about our testimony length, but that would be one of the workers or one of the elders, and so it felt inappropriate. And in the past couple weeks, there's been numerous times where you have initiated contact with my children, and those felt more specifically direct violations from what you said you would do as far as not initiating contact. You asked Jared and Naomi out to dinner, and they were both very startled by that. You followed Naomi and Noah and Jared out to the car after gospel meeting, and Naomi felt like you had walked past the workers and were waiting there, and she felt like you were waiting for them, and then you followed them to the car. They were very uncomfortable with that. You helped Bethany brush the snow off of her car and were communicating with her. She was uncomfortable with that. And then a number of times shook hands after meeting, and we were under the understanding that that wasn't going to happen, that you were just going to leave after meeting and not initiate contact. And then multiple times after gospel meeting, our family is very aware of where you're at and trying to make sure everything's that everybody's safe. So we've noticed a pattern that you walk past the workers and then you hang around and wait by the car, and maybe that's because you're giving one a ride, but it's made us uncomfortable. And a number of those behaviors, they would seem innocent and normal, but they are also grooming behaviors, and someone that's ignorant and uneducated wouldn't necessarily recognize the difference. And that's why children are taken advantage of the way they are, is because a lot of times people that take advantage of children have the ability to seem innocent and to not seem like anything amiss is happening. And the parents aren't aware of what's happening, because there's these subtle things that happen that you feel uncomfortable about, but you can't put your finger on quite what it is. So that stuff is happening. There's a pattern and a habit of pushing the boundaries. where you are right now, it seems like it's way, way beyond where Julie Robb initially set that boundary. And so I am to the point where I am no longer comfortable being in meeting with you. My girls are no longer comfortable being in meeting with you. Noah has also expressed, like, I'm not comfortable. So my understanding was this was a trial period conditional on us being comfortable, and we're not comfortable.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Oh.
And my heart goes out to you and your family for any feelings that I have created in them. And I'm shocked and appalled. Let me start with this first. I want to share this because this is vital for everything that's going to take place from here on. There's a man that does seminars. He travels around the world, and you have to pay at least $1,000, $2,000 to attend one of his seminars. And here's the message that he gives every time. He says, you know, he says, before you make a decision about anything, he says, think about how you're going to feel about that decision 5 minutes from now, an hour from now, a week from now, next month, next year, 5 years from now. That applies, and he was talking about natural success in life. But I want to take it a step further. It has everything to do with the decisions that we make spiritually should be considered. And if we do that, we wouldn't be sitting here today.
Yeah, we would.
You think so?
Yes, sir. I have children to protect.
Okay.
And they have an internal soul that I have a responsibility for. So that's why we're here, Richard.
My children are saying,
that's why we're here.
Okay. So
excuse me. I believe when the meeting was put at the blocks, there was an agreement that no children would be in that meeting. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know the arrangement.
That's correct. That's correct. The agreement originally.
Originally, yeah.
Julie called everybody in the field, and we had just moved up, so Julie did call me directly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So it's a good thing. We can always look back. And we look back on decisions, things that we do, our actions, and when we have a situation, the very first thing we need to do is we need to look at what part we played in it and go from there forward.
We had an agreement, and the agreement was conditional upon us being comfortable. And we all were in that room, and we were willing to give it a chance.
So let me ask this question to both of you. Have I molested any of your children?
It's not about molesting.
I'm not going to wait.
I'm not going to wait that long.
Is it number two? Have I ever touched any of your children inappropriately?
You agreed to not initiate contact.
I did not say that. I said I promised you in tears that I would not touch your children inappropriately. I have not done that. If shaking hands with your children is inappropriate, excuse me.
Richard, when you commit certain crimes at that point, you aren't trusted, and you have to be willing for a different set of boundaries than the average person.
Okay. Let's just take a minute here now. Look back 40 years to your behavior. Is there something back there?
I have never molested a child.
Maybe you didn't, but look back.
Richard, that's not what we're talking about right now.
40 years ago. And you do not believe that God has healed me and taken care of me.
That is
not true. We're talking about what you said you would do and what you're doing.
I said I would not touch them inappropriately. I have not done that. I'm not guilty.
You said you were going to leave right after a meeting. You wouldn't initiate contact with the kids. That you're slowly pushing those boundaries, which is what groomers do. That's what child molesters do, Richard, is they take boundaries, they establish trust, they push until there's resistance, and then they back off, and then they push, and there's resistance, they back off. It's not my feelings. You keep talking about feelings. This is empirical facts. You were told you could come to gospel meeting. Yes, ma'am.
Where is forgiveness?
This has nothing to do with forgiveness. This has to do with establishing trust.
We love the souls of our children.
Love for a brother.
Then you don't put temptation in front of him if he's struggling.
Who God has forgiven.
Then he needs to fit into the boundaries.
Where is the forgiveness?
Forgiving somebody and then trusting their behavior in the future are completely different things. You can forgive a person. I want to see Richard saved. I want to see him prosper. I want to see him in the kingdom. That doesn't mean that based off the behaviors that I see with my own eyes, that I necessarily am going to trust him to babysit my children. It's a different thing.
Let's just end this right here on this note. If you folks are so concerned about my presence in a meeting, let me share with you what happened on Sunday.
Richard, we're not the only ones. We're not the only ones that are super concerned about you being in a meeting with children.
What?
There are multiple people that saw that we were on the list to be in meeting with you that are very concerned.
Okay. So you've prayed about this, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. We prayed about it before we met with you the very first time.
Okay. And many times since.
When you have a problem, you pray about it, and you have. I don't doubt that. So, when you have a problem, you pray about it. You should come up with a solution. So what is your solution?
I am not willing to be in meeting with you anymore.
Okay, Dan, that's on you now.
It is. And I'm ready to ask if you'd be willing to listen into meetings.
Listen into meetings?
Yeah. And not come in person.
I have been outcast. I've been cut off. I've been kicked out of a meeting.
And this is not outcast from God. It's a protection. It's a protection for you, and it's a protection from our young ones.
Well...
And that's what I would appreciate you being willing to do.
And not sharing the emblems, not be a part of that, in the presence of God.
You're in the presence of God.
I don't think so, no.
He's not far from any one of us.
Yeah, he's very aware, and it's for your future protection and our future protection.
Yeah.
That's what I feel would be peace to you and peace to the kingdom.
Okay. Have you shared with them what I told you the other night when you called me about this?
What specifically, you know?
That no more did I want to meet with those folks. No more did I want to be a part of the faith. I did not want ever to go to another meeting. Did you share that with them?
I did not.
And why not?
Because I felt like that was a moment of anger and rage because they wanted to visit with you. And I wasn't buying that yet.
It's not appropriate to put Dan in that situation either. That's unfair.
This
is why we're meeting all together.
You brought it to him and you put him in the situation.
No. I don't expect him to go tell you everything I tell him.
We're all here with witnesses so that it'll be clear what's shared and what isn't.
It wouldn't be appropriate for him to share with us the things that you said in confidence. I asked him if we could meet together.
Let's go to the Bible. Okay? And what is the Word of God? And it's the Word of God says, if you and you have a problem with a brother, what are you supposed to do?
Richard, we met with you already in the fall.
And you didn't express any concern about this, but you went to Dan.
I expressed great concern about it, and I told you we would meet again if I was uncomfortable.
And you didn't come to me.
So I asked Dan if we could meet again. You're not my judge and jury. I'm sorry. You're not to point a finger at me and call me guilty.
Well,
can I read something I was thinking about today, and it has to do with me. Is that?
Please, we need.
Yeah, it was the situation that probably isn't exactly couldn't fit, you know, just where we're at in a sense. But it's our responsibility, just as brothers and sisters, in wanting to be in Christ and what we're given to have in our hearts as a purpose.
What's funny here, Simon?
He's She's having me calm down because I'm getting upset.
I can hear his breathing. He's been having high blood pressure, and I can hear.
I don't like when people attack my wife at all.
So I'm hoping that.
That's not funny.
No, it's not funny. I calmed him.
I smiled at my wife because I love her.
Okay. So it's just when Paul had written to the Corinthians about the issues in the church, and some of them were sexual immorality, some were. Financial, you know, and law situations that he was wanting to guide and be a help to, but he just spoke of himself in that part. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And then he gives. For he saith, I have heard thee, and in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then he says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments. Anyway, it goes through lots of experiences. Yeah, you understand, we all live in and face. And then that how we do it by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of the righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. And then he goes through the contrasts that happen. By evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, is having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened or narrowed in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. And then he finishes that as far as his outpouring to them and wanting to be pure and representing what our calling is.
Go ahead. I have a question.
Sure.
For Jennifer, do you, ma'am, have some something against me?
No, not at all.
Are you comfortable with me in the meeting?
Yes.
What about you, Simon?
Yeah.
Do you know how I get to that meeting?
A vehicle.
Whose vehicle?
When this doesn't have anything to do with it.
This is an emotional sidetrack thing. We'll come pick you up and take you to meeting.
We have lots of people that would bring you.
There's no shortage of people that would be willing. I'm not saying that Richard has no value or is not a nice man. I'm just saying I want separation right now.
As a mother, when my children, multiple of my children come to me and say they're uncomfortable with someone, that is my responsibility to take care of that. I'm not going to sit passively by when my children are telling me I'm not comfortable. Especially when I'm already not comfortable.
Stop. Let's go back to that.
Richard, you don't have authority over me.
You can't tell people to stop talking.
What about Sherry? Wait a minute.
You're telling me to stop, and you're telling me I'm guilty. You are being aggressor. That's overboard.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm really sorry that you feel that.
We'll listen to you without interruption. We just ask for the same courtesy.
Like this situation is far bigger than the Fords. And so I understand that is, I'm sorry that you have been, in a sense, dragged into this situation. But Richard and
we were willing to try. We honestly were willing to.
Far situation than just Ford.
And up until just like the last week and a half, really after we talked to you guys, I didn't realize that there were other people upset about it either.
They have a right to not be in a meeting for whatever reason. Now that's between them and God about, you know, forgiveness and all that. But that's really a separate issue. I sense. I mean, it's part of it, but it's there's a lot more.
Okay, folks, let me. Can I finish what I want to say?
Sure.
And it's about me. I'm the one on the cross here. Okay. Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening after that meeting, and I got. Hopefully, Dan and Sean will vouch for me on this. That I have always left. I have not included myself in your little circle of hugging and shaking hands with everybody. I exit, always exit, right after me. Is that not true, Dan?
That's what I see.
Did you come back into the breezeway after you went out to your car?
I did. I was waiting for someone to give something to me. And you know what I saw when I came back in?
My daughter?
I saw Levi out on the step. I saw Hannah out in the snow, playing in the snow. I did not see either one of you.
You're not even the one being called into correction right now.
Don't you interrupt me.
Oh, that's...
Okay? The thing was, if I would have had children, then if I had such strong feelings...
You did have children, Richard.
...about a child molester and the man, they would have been by my side. So there would not ever been a chance to even get close. I walk by.
Dan, can we be done, please? Dan, can we please be done? I can't. Can we be done?
Sure.
I'm not going to have my parenting be called into question. I'm sorry.
Richard, you literally molested your children.
Hannah,
and you're telling us we're not good parents?
Hannah instantly ran out to pick me a dandelion, and you are chastising me. Yes, and we all have
you went to prison for molesting your children, and you're telling us that you would have protected them?
Can we be done, please?
Really?
Please leave. Please leave. You're accusing me.
Of something that's been proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
And I have served my time. Do you know how long I've served?
Yeah, you told me.
Okay, well, we're uncomfortable with you, and we're uncomfortable.
And you have forgotten that God is forgiving you.
I know. I'm being emotional. I'm sorry.
And I hope you can leave now, please.
Oh,
I'm rich.
I know.
Let's go.
We don't fault you. We don't fault you.
This is far bigger than
We don't fault you.
No.
I didn't do a good job of doing what I came here to do. I'm sorry.
Never mind. I'm sorry people feel the way you do.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry.
Me too.
Okay.
Here come the tears.
I'm sorry, son. I can't keep sitting there hearing him watching him point his finger at me.